We were asking, okay, are you batch testing?
Yep.
Five people donate, pool a bit of the samples of the blood, and then you do one test, clear five, so speedy. And they were like, no, we're not batch testing. We test everything. In which case, why not?
Yeah.
Like, if you are testing every piece of blood that comes through, why are you not accepting blood from gay men who do not have HIV? Like, why? And there was never any good answer for it. There was never a good answer. Mm-hmm. You know, sticking to HIV in the last 10 years, we've gone to a point where you needed, I think it was daily medication, to a point now where you could get an injection once every 3 months and your transmissibility rate drops to technically zero, or technically almost zero. You still can't donate blood if you have HIV. It just will be absolutely clear here. The blood ban and the organ donation ban and all of these other bans were in place for gay men, regardless. They could have HIV, but they could not have HIV. Either way, no ban. But I don't know. I think when we look at the achievements in rights that queer folks have gained under the Trudeau Liberal government, some of it, I think, is genuine. Bill 279, which then became Bill C, whatever it was, adding gender identity and gender expression to the Canadian Human Rights Code. That was a House bill. It came from the government. It was put forward by them. And it's put into law the same protections as age, disability, so on and so forth. So the government can't discriminate against somebody based on whether or not they're trans. That has in turn led to being able to put an X marker on your passport in Canada since that became law. You know, there's a whole knock-on effect that has happened, but some of it is thanks to Trudeau, but a pretty sizable portion was some very gentle pushing from lost court cases. And I don't want us to lose sight of there was, you know, because they're going to obviously take credit for the successes, which is all, you know, all the credit to them. But let's not be Tululu here. They have also been sternly shoved at several points in the last 10 years.
Yeah. And it also occurred to me, because when you were saying Bill C, whatever, I was like, but every House bill starts with a C. That's part of what the if it's a number 120 or less, then it's a government bill. And then otherwise, it's probably an opposition bill. But I don't think there's been any major private member bills to do with LGBT rights over the past like 15 years from anyone.
C-279 was a Senate bill, and it was a private member's bill, and it was gender identity expression. That was famously where I was in the room. I was in the Senate committee hearing for it, and Senator Bill Platt, whatever his name is, he was saying that by adding gender identity, gender expression into the Canadian Human Rights Code, it will become illegal to call somebody by the wrong name. And he's like, what if I don't want to call them, you know, she, her, whatever it is. And it was a reaction that I honest to God, almost laughed out loud in the room. Anyway, Jody Wilson-Raybo was the Attorney General at the time. And her lawyer just very calmly said, you could just say their name. If you don't want to use their gender identity, just call them Sam. Call them Bob. Yeah. Whatever their name is. Not breaking any rules. And
usually when you use a third-person pronoun, they're not in conversation with you. So if they're not in the room, then what are they going to know?
And also, let me just check the records here. Let me just check the records. Yeah, nobody has been arrested for saying the wrong name. Let me triple check. Yeah, nobody. So let's just, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, the rights have come a long way. I don't know where we go forward from here in terms of a conservative government. The most obvious thing that will change is the money. Now, me and you have talked repeatedly about how the Liberals have been a boon to queer organizations coast to coast to coast. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how an organization that was an anti-bullying, national anti-bullying organization, just up and declared bankruptcy out of the blue, despite having been awarded, they hadn't fully received, but they had been awarded almost $500,000 in federal funding. And it begged the question, like, how many other charities that serve the queer community are federally funded by the Liberals? And it is a lot of them. And many of them are going to have to face serious questions when upwards of 30, 40% of their revenues are coming from the federal Liberals. And with a $60 billion deficit, is that tap still going to be running when the Conservatives and Conservative priorities come into play for the budget?
Well, this is a place where talking about the future is actually pretty relevant. So the organization in question that you're talking about did have a national Canadian coast-to-coast mandate, but a lot of the organizations that receive funding really, quite frankly, should be getting municipal or provincial funding, because a lot of them are local service centers. They you know, they service the greater North Bay area and countryside or something of that ilk. And it's not so much that I don't think the feds should be funding them as much as it's just not their job. That's not the federal mandate when it comes to funding organizations like that, especially if it's that local. If you're talking about something that is like a Canada-wide issue to do with, like, I don't know, research or looking at quality of life, or just sort of like there's certain questions that people may not want to ask on the census because they might view it as a violation of privacy or something. So you've got these little like pseudo quango type organizations that can ask the questions the government probably shouldn't be asking. So you put them in this sort of like semi-private shell, stuff like that. Yeah, like they would be getting federal funding. But a lot of the organizations, as we went down that list of organizations in Canada that have been getting federal funds from the Secretariat or related offices, they're completely and totally local. And a lot of them, I really do wish them to have double the funding they have now. But if you're looking at how the system's supposed to be working, they should be getting that funding from the city or in some cases the province. And I really do think this is a situation where we kind of need to evaluate who's paying for what and why. So like the recent dental care program, for example, the one that Jagmeet Singh introduced, I think is a fantastic provincial policy that was accidentally released at the federal level. And because that's part of the normal responsibilities of the provinces. And I'm not against the program. It's just that's not the correct level of government for that. And I think we're going to be seeing, I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of this. I have no idea, but there's been talk amongst various conservative candidates of trying to reset that, of getting the appropriate services and the appropriate funding at the appropriate level. Whether or not that happens, whether or not that plays out in a way that is positive, negative, constructive, destructive, I can't predict it, but I do know that that is on the table as a conversation. And if that is the case, then I really do hope local municipalities do step up and take an interest in gaps in service that centers like this provide.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely
right. No, not that they provide. They don't provide the gap in service. They provide the service to the gap.
Yeah, they address the gap in service. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are queer community service centers in like Halifax and in London, Ontario that we spoke to who receive this funding. They receive this funding as capacity building, tied under the federal government's overall goal to sort of equalize health and access to services from coast to coast. Think healthcare transfers, but at a micro level. Should that be provincial? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Has the federal government stepped in where the provinces were doing nothing? Mm-hmm. Also, I think yes.
Yeah.
For these service centers, I just want to qualify, many of these service centers we refer to also got provincial funding. It's not like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Feds were just there's a few that did only get the Fed funding.
Yeah. But I do want to mention that not all of the Liberal federal funding has been as reasonable as we mentioned, you know, we've talked about the grants, the capacity building grants. I love those. I think they are brilliant because it creates, it gives the community the means to stand on its own 2 feet. So the next year it doesn't need the grant, which I think is great. 5 million to Pride Toronto to avoid bankruptcy. Far more of a questionable decision. And that seems to be the case with the Liberals over the last 10 years. You get, on the one hand, brilliant policy that I fully think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then you get these decisions where I'm like, who was in that back room greasing what palm for that money to move hands?
You because know? When Pride Ottawa went bankrupt, they just said, "Welp, we're bankrupt. Okie dokie," and they went through the normal process of shutting down, and a new company, not a company, a new entity rose up in its place, and the usual turnover happened. And yeah, I could understand that Toronto Pride didn't want, like, they wanted that continuity of history. But on the other hand, I don't know, multiple cities across Canada. Actually, that is definitely another thing we could probably talk about 40 minutes, an hour, the history of, let's call them, issues with pride organizations in Canada, or minor dramas.
We could write an ongoing anthology on that. Anyway, we're going to jump into Diner Cafe with Van Camp, and we'll be back just after this.
The sugar in your coffee, so you don't need to worry. Wish I could swallow my pride, apologize, I owe that to you. You talk of being younger, the setting days of summer. Your eyes are wide, moving side to side, surprised by the view. I don't recognize you. No, it's the same. No, we're both surviving, finding our own ways. I don't seem to get you. You don't seem to care. Do I cross your mind when you ask, is it better out there? Your neighbors at the table, deciphering a riddle. That small town pride behind those eyes is getting to you.
Isn't better.
fee. So you don't need to worry. Wish I could swallow my pride. Apologize, I owe that to you.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And today we've been talking about not just where we are and how we got here, but where we might be moving forward, specifically when it comes to queer rights and representation and so on and so forth. And I want to jump in now and actually reference the changes that Meta has rolled out vis-a-vis Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth. There's been this sort of swing towards freedom of speech, and everyone is terrified of what's going to happen. You know, among the changes, you can say that in my belief, I honestly believe that you, Sebastian, are mentally unwell and need medical care on account of your homosexuality. That's now protected speech. I'm using here as a satirical example. That's now not going to get you into any trouble on Facebook. Wow. You'd also say that you own women and that they are property. Also will not get you into any trouble. Now, the one thing I wanted to note, and this is the line connecting it back to Canada that I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And I said this to you before we started the show. Meta's rules, Facebook's rules, and that Facebook post from your uncle about, you know, copyrighting your photographs, all of those rules is not Canadian law.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. And also, there is a large marketplace of social media platforms, and even if you're going to one such as Twitter X or Facebook, you don't have to engage in that side of the internet. As I've mentioned multiple times, most of my Twitter feed is comics, because you go on there, you read a joke, you giggle, you close it, you go back to your life. No drama. It's great.
I do want to put this scenario out here, though. Let's say you are in Vancouver and you are on Facebook and there's a trans person, and you're inferring that they are mentally ill, that they are, by your religion, they are deranged and they shouldn't be put into positions of authority or trust. Under BC human rights law, trans identity is not up for debate. By writing it down, you know, like, oh my God, it's not blasphemy. What's the other one? What's the word I'm missing here? A written insult. Defamation of character.
Libel?
But that's, libel the word, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah. And but more importantly, be careful, because where there is this sense in the dialogue that, oh, with Trump here, with us moving to a conservative government, free speech, yay. But the law isn't that. What Trump says isn't law in Canada. What Meta says isn't law in Canada. You know, what the Human Rights Tribunal for British Columbia says is the law in British Columbia. Like, let me be very clear. And the
Also, there is that classic Wild West of the internet early 2000s argument of, if somebody says something online that you don't like, just tell them to shut the F up. Like, you have that right. They have the right to say horrible nonsense, and you have the right to respond in kind. Just, you know, the because I'm actually, I have the rules open to me right now, and it's the same basic freedom of speech stuff, that you don't have the right to threaten violence, you don't have the right to dox people, you don't have the right to wish harm on people. But then otherwise, if someone's saying something that you don't like, you do have the right to respond to them however you want. And that, you know, if you don't have the spine to tell people to back off, then maybe the internet's not for you, or social media is not for you, which is a little harsh.
I also think that those folks who are spewing this vile, disgusting vitriol need to be aware that Meta might let you get away with it,
but you won't. As I was gonna say, it is harsh, but I mean, reality is not fair. Like, I'm Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but
yeah,
nature is pretty horrible. Well,
I mean, Trump said January 6th was a stolen election, and yet multiple hundreds of people were sentenced for insurrection. Like, it was like the law caught up with them. And I think that I am not entering the next 4 years of a likely conservative government. I'm obviously concerned. I am concerned as a minority that there is going to be things moving not in the direction that I would maybe be a fan of. But I'm not panicked. I'm not, you know, stocking up on firearms and bottled water. You know, I'm not, the world is not on fire this precise moment. If there are anything like the British Conservatives, we'll see 12 prime ministers by the end of the week. But it's... You know, but my point.
Well, the other thing is that conservatism is a big tent, and Poilievre does not seem to be the religious right, and he doesn't seem to be.
Well, he did. Like, there's different against gay marriage in the early 2000s, but it's
a lot of people law, did,
and he's broadly sort of unfussed about it, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm not too overly concerned, because and maybe this is naive, and maybe this is what the Democrats were thinking, you know, in 2016, that I believe that the institutions that we have, the Supreme Court of Canada, the parliamentary process, the laws that are in place, I believe that these things combined, the multi-level government in terms of provincial and federal priorities, all of these things together work collectively towards the long-standing goal of supporting Canadians. You know what I mean?
Also the will of the people, even though approval of, you know, trans folks and same-sex attracted folks and various, you know, subgroups within the community have been dipping lately, it's still above 60%. Like, a supermajority of Canadians still believes in you shouldn't have the legal right to fire someone purely because they're gay. You shouldn't have the right to evict someone from their home purely because they're trans. There is a strong supermajority of Canadians who believe that LGBT folks deserve the same fundamental human and civil rights as everyone else. And so long as that remains true, I'm not worried about any stupid government, because you're going to have people going like, wait a minute. What? No. That's not how we do things here. So, I mean, so long as that remains true, then yeah, I'm generally comfortable that it's going to work out more or less okay, at least in the long run.
Now, the gravy train is going to come to a stop at the station, you know, and that's what it is. And a whole bunch of conservative dollars will get back in the gravy train and they will go somewhere else. Probably to arms manufacturing. But the, you know, realistically, NATO needs more spending. But it is what it is. But my point is that there are going to be queer folks who will be directly impacted, because currently they are receiving the largesse of government. They're receiving these priorities, but every government brings different priorities. And if you don't believe that the Conservatives are the way to go, vote for somebody else.
Yep.
You know, we'll just see what happens. I don't know if I am as resigned to a Conservative supermajority. You know, maybe something will happen. Maybe there'll be some inspiring change.
And you know, also, like, as I said, most of the funding for services are supposed to be happening at the provincial and municipal levels. If you don't like the federal Conservatives, get involved at the municipal level.
Yeah.
If
you don't like our hot take on this, get involved with broadcasting. Get involved
with
sharing your perspective. I think we're probably close to the end of the time now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a lot. I think watching the rise and fall of Justin Trudeau, because let's be honest, he was a one-man Canada's Wonderland theme park ride.
Oh, God, yeah.
That reflects where queer history has come and gone. We've won so many hard-fought rights. We've seen so much tragedy in the last 5 to 10 years. Gay men being targeted on apps. This week, Spain prosecuted 10 people for the murder of a gay man in Spain, and Russia arrested a man who claimed to have invented the gay rights movement. You know, all of these things are always happening around the world, and we've borne witness. But now we invite you, our listeners, to bear your own witness and maybe to share your own stories. But we are signing off. We are playing out with we are playing out with our last track, which is Can't Make Us Gone by Amanda Reum, amazing artist, huge fan of hers for many years. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And for the final time, thank you very much for listening.
Staying warm, the grass is getting long. It's time to sleep under the stars and go where the buffalo roam. I packed up the cart, swept our new wooden floor. Wonder how big they'll grow. These are the lands we've lived on for so long. Red River banks always been our that I don't know. I wish they'd leave us alone. Steal our lands we've been on for so long. Move on in, take over. You can't make us gone. Now the night getting cold, I hear my belly roar. With the sign of an X goes everything that we've ever known. Now we're living on the side of the road. Our food, wear our clothes, quiet.
You're listening.